Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
And Dr. David Coleman, clinical child psychologist, is here.
Good morning, Claire. How are you? Yes, I am.
I'm great, and I have a lot of questions for you, which is great, but I'm still inviting people to get them in. The WhatsApp number 0870 32 32 32. Right, will we get into them?
Let's get stuck in, as ever.
As many as we can. So this first one, my child who is 9 has autism plus dyslexia, and when he goes to special education teacher, she seems to be more relaxed with him, which means he gets less work done this year than expected. So the academic year just gone. So he does jigsaws instead of reading. And then he says that his teacher says he needs the holistic approach. But the issue the parent seems to have is that his favourite word is no. Mm-hmm. And so he's really pushing the boundaries, you know, like I'm not doing it. And my teacher says it's okay if I just do the jigsaw. And the question is, how can I help him further? What do I do?
Yeah. So I'm not sure whether that means, you know, what can the mum do herself in terms of supporting his education at home, or what can she do about trying to get more learning happening in school? I'm not sure exactly
I'd say there's probably a bit of both, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, I think definitely go in and talk to the learning support teacher and just explain what concerns or worries you might have about his actual academic progress, if you feel that that's slowed down over the last year or so for whatever reason, because it may be that the teacher is prioritising that relationship over, you know, the actual kind of pushing a lot of heavy duty academic work. And so, you know, there's real benefit to that in some ways, because I think when you have a really good relationship built up, it's easier to try and get the work done. But if you don't have a good relationship, then you're never going to get the work done anyway.
Yeah.
So that might be the approach that the teacher's taking. And it's just about the mum, I suppose, coming to understand that and seeing then how can she balance that also then at home in terms of their own approach at home. If there are supplemental things that they want to be doing, so it mightn't be about necessarily getting, you know, the lad to do reading or writing, but it might be about maybe reading more to him, for example. I mean, I think it's great if a 9-year-old, is he 9, did you say?
9, yeah.
Yeah, is into doing jigsaws, like, fantastic. I mean, many 9-year-olds would be only into trying to get onto Roblox or something and some kind of screen. So I think there's a lot, you know, to be kind of glad about in terms of what's actually going on at the moment. But if there is a bit of a worry there about the academic bit, I think it's about trying to build that into the ordinary everyday stuff, you know. So if you're going shopping and he's coming with you, you know, get him to do a little bit of the totting up of, you know, how much is this all going to cost and what kind of change will we have? And, oh, if there's a little bit of change, maybe we could put that towards an ice cream for you, you know, work out now how much we're going to have left over. Those kinds of things are often the way to help children just pick up the academic skills that they need without it feeling like they're being in a lesson where it's all, you know, feeling like it's pressure. And if he has a habit of saying no and pushing back, you know, that'll kind of get around that, because it won't feel like it's work that he's been asked to do.
Secret learning. Mm. Learning by stealth.
There you go.
This one, my partner's 13-year-old daughter is struggling with me being around. I spend 1 to 2 hours about the house while she's there. We have dinner. So with her and her dad, we've done this gradually, but she is uncomfortable. What can we do?
So it kind of makes sense that she's uncomfortable. I think, you know, 13, did you say, or 12?
13.
Yeah. So tricky age anyway. But I could imagine for that daughter that she's kind of concerned about her relationship with her dad and concerned about what this new relationship with texter or your emailer, what that's going to mean for her and her dad. And is this person going to come in and take away her dad's love, for example, that, you know, her dad is going to start loving this woman more than he loves his daughter. So I think it's about being tuned into that a little bit and maybe empathizing with that a little bit. Probably a lot of that has to come from her dad. So you might be talking to, you know, your partner about how can he both reassure, but without necessarily just kind of blandishments. It's very easy to say, oh no, it's fine. Sure, of course you're my number one. And so the daughter isn't necessarily going to believe that. But I think if you use phrases like, oh, I could imagine you'd be a bit worried. Yeah, maybe it might feel like this person is going to be more important to me than you are. And so that kind of phrasing where you're just acknowledging that maybe there are these worries in the background, I think just might make it easier for her to know that her relationship with her dad is secure. Because once her relationship with her dad is secure, then she can create the space to let somebody else into that.
Mm-hmm. But you're saying that this work has to be done by dad, not necessarily by the new partner.
Well, yes and no. I mean, for sure, I think the dad has a bigger role, but, you know, the new partner also also then needs to be not putting the daughter under pressure. And so neither the dad nor the new partner, for example, need to be saying things to the daughter like, you know, you have to be polite now, you know, come on, be nice, don't be rude, you know, don't be looking down at your phone, you know, come on, talk to us now, you know, we're here at the dinner table. It's those kinds of things, I think, that will probably turn her off, whoever this new person is, because again, she's almost being the bold child and in front of this new person. So it's about, I think, being kind of just warm and understanding of the fact that this is a big deal and that your role is not to put pressure on her. So you don't need her to become your best friend. You just need mm-hmm. her to be respectful and to allow you the space to have your own relationship with her dad. That's all you need from her. And so I think, again, if the daughter knows that this is not about her coming in and taking over, I think it becomes easier.
I have a few people here who are worried about children starting school in September, which makes sense because here we are coming up.
It's not even September. It's all happening next week.
Listen, 28th of August, they're all heading back my house.
10 days.
And they've been running wild now for weeks. So listen, we have people who are starting school for the first time. I might take this one first. This is a listener whose daughter is 4.5, going to be 5 in October, starting school in September. Mm-hmm. She's still breastfeeding at night to go to sleep, as well as during the night if she wakes up. It has worked for us so far, but I'm shattered. How do I slowly and gently wean her without feeling so guilty? She regularly tells me how much she loves it and without too much upheaval for her. Thank you. So they obviously feel that now is the time to change this because of school starting, but that's a lot of change, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely talk to, so there are lactation consultants and so attached to all the hospitals, and so people who are breastfeeding, there's lots of really good advice in terms of weaning, because so there's the, you know, there's the practicalities and the physicality of the weaning, but also then the psychological bit of the weaning as well. And so, you know, I think at this stage, you know, it is okay to begin to think, well, you know, what is that breastfeeding about at night? And is that just about some kind of comfort? And could that comfort be offered in a different kind of way, and that might be, you know, that something else is offered instead of breast milk at that stage of the night if the, mm-hmm. the daughter wakes up. And so if the daughter's still in the bed with them, which it sounds like she probably is, if that's the case, you know, that's all part of it, because, you know, I think it's fair for the mum to say, look, you know, I actually can't keep doing all this, you know, because their daughter is 4 and 5 and is going to, are coming up on 5, it will be able to understand that this is a two-way street now, that this isn't just about the daughter's needs, because I don't think it is about need anymore for breast milk. You know, it's as much about want. And so I think that's about the discussion for them to have and to begin that process. But you can definitely get advice. So, for example, there are support groups like the La Leche League would be another one, which is parent-to-parent support in terms of breastfeeding. And so they would have loads of experience and advice about weaning, and particularly as kids get a bit older and the weaning needs to happen, you know, for, in this case, it sounds like the mum's sanity and her physical exhaustion level so that she can cope, particularly as it is going to be busy from September.
And I just wonder, you know, if you're facing into that big change of starting school, do you try to change everything at the same time? Is it a good opportunity to change everything, or should you be taking baby steps?
So I was going to actually thank you for giving me the opportunity, because I think it is important that, you know, her daughter's going to need a lot of emotional support starting school anyway, potentially, not always, but in most cases, it's an exhausting experience for a young child to start in primary school. And so I think it is about knowing, you know, how will that comfort be delivered? And so if breastfeeding has been the way, is the breastfeeding only happening at night, for example, still, or does it happen during the day? Because if it's happening during the day, that might be the case that you could wean her off during the day and then maybe keep the night feeding for a while, just because that's still going to be a big comfort and support for the daughter. So I think it could be a lot to change everything all at once. And so maybe you're probably looking at, you know, letting the transition into school happen, but then maybe from kind of, you know, the October midterm on up towards Christmas, that might be your weaning time
when
you've had a little bit of chance to get used to the new routines and how things are going in school.
Now, we have a 4-year-old boy next who is a little wild. He's starting school. Have you any ideas or ways or tips for me on how to calm him down a little bit?
Well, the good news is you don't have to calm him down when he's in school, because you're not there. And so you don't have the control. And so I think this is about where, you know, what lots of parents discover is that, you know, your child moves into a new environment with new rules, new people and new ways of doing things, and they can adapt and adjust to it. And so it may not be the case that your son is going to appear as wild in school. And if they are, the teacher's going to come back to you, and then you'll be doing some kind of a joint process with the teacher where you're looking at, you know, what's going on. And it may be that the teacher's going to come back and say, look, maybe maybe there's something else going on here, and, you know, could we go and get it explored and assessed maybe? And so that might be, you know, something that you end up doing within the next 12 months, just to try and see, you know, what's the wildness about? Is it just his nature? Is it something to do with something like ADHD? Is there something else that's going on in the background that might be leading to this wildness? But I think, you know, the key thing is not to assume that just because he's wild at home, that he's going to be wild in school, because I think a lot of people experience that their kids can act completely differently in a different environment, and that's okay and that's good. And so then it's about just making sure, but if that's not happening and he is wild in school, just go in, talk to the teacher and see if you can take do some kind there. Of joint problem solving approach, as opposed to kind of either abandoning the teacher to it or being so kind of rushing in and setting up all this kind of, what's the word, you know, if she's kind of telling the teacher, oh, this is how he is, then the teacher's going to have a preconception, which you don't necessarily want either. You want the teacher to be able to meet him as he is and as he or she experiences.
Mm-hmm. So you don't want to give anyone preconceived notions about what your child might be like.
Yeah.
You know? Now, this is the other end of the spectrum, but it's also very relevant this week because it's Leaving Cert results week.
Yes.
And this listener says, my son is getting his results on Friday. I'd really appreciate your advice. To be honest, it's been a struggle with him throughout school. He never really applied himself, despite teachers telling him he had great potential. After the mocks, which weren't great, he did knuckle down for a couple of weeks. That didn't last, though. Now that the results are coming out, he's starting to panic. I think seeing his friends getting excited about college is making it all feel very real. I have no idea how he's done, but I'm trying to prepare myself for how to handle the moment, especially if the results aren't good. I know I'll want to say, well, you were told, but I also know that won't help. Any thoughts on how best to react or not react in that moment would be really helpful.
So the key thing is to take it from her son's perspective as opposed to her own perspective. So she absolutely may be able to see the writing on the wall and might be able to have predicted that he will struggle and perhaps not get what he wants now come the time, given, you know, his application over the years. But I think it's really important that in terms of her response to him, it's about trying to tune into how does he feel about his results.
Yeah.
So if he seems disappointed by his results, well, then you empathize with his disappointment and you say, yeah, I think, you know, it's been hard. It's been a bit of a struggle. It's been a long road. And, you know, I think, yeah, it is difficult now. But, you know, all is not lost because there are other opportunities, other ways. And so even though you didn't get what you wanted first time round, there might be another route to it. So that would be how you might approach it if he's disappointed about it. If he's not disappointed about it, if he's just, you know, matter of fact, that's the way of it, sure, I have this plan or I have that plan, then you go along with his lack of disappointment, because ultimately it's his life. You know, what happens next is going to be his choices. How he, you know, moves things forward, you know, will be about what he now wants to do. And so it might have been a really bitter learning experience for him that actually you don't get what you want unless you get the work in, you know. And so that might mean that now he's going to be prepared that actually he, if he wants to do something in particular, that he will work for it. And if not, then they have other long conversations ahead about, well, you know, you didn't get what you wanted in college, you know, but equally you can't sit around the house now all day, you know, we need you to either be looking at getting a job, getting an apprenticeship, doing some kind of PLC course. You've got to be doing something that's moving you forward.
Or if he expresses an interest in going back and doing the Leaving Cert again, you'd obviously support him in that choice too, right?
Yeah, assuming you can afford to, because typically, you know, that means going to, you know, a fee-paying kind of college or school, you know, at that stage in terms of redoing the Leaving Cert. Like it's tricky. But yeah, absolutely. But I think it's about him now wanting something different. And so, you know, if he has the internal motivation because he now sees, oh, I am disappointed, I didn't get what I wanted, then I think it's going to be easier. But if he's just kind of blasé and, ah, sure, what harm? It's only the Leaving Cert. Like, I never really cared anyway. Then they've got probably other conversations just in terms of trying to find some spark of motivation that he moves himself forward, that he begins to become financially independent of them, as well as probably looking to be independent in lots of other ways.
Now, listen, we could keep going. We haven't got the time, though, with so many questions coming in, but you'll be back.
I will be back.
With us
I
in
will
a few
be back.
Weeks.
And actually, just I'm writing in the Irish Independent, obviously, every week, but this Wednesday, I've got a piece in it that is going to be all about how to support your child after that first day back, rather than rushing in with all of the questions. You know, the kind of the where you're trying to or find out exactly how do they get on and freaking out about it. I've got lots of advice on how not to do that, but actually help support them.
Right, be measured about the first day back. Thank you so much, David, for coming in.